It was before I met Doc Harry.
There was this man. He was an influential ANC member. He was the member of the NEC of the ANC then. And then he got sick. He was not a born-again child of God. He did not want to hear anything about Jesus. You know, he got sick and he died. The following day, they had to collect his corpse to the mortuary, right? Now, the sister to the wife said, "Let's call Abi Maponi." He was in Mediclinic Santen. I was at Mangueng. We were 300 plus kilometers apart. Then my Nokia cell phone rang. "Oh, how are you? Fine. We have a situation. So and so, you know him, has passed on yesterday. Now, before we take the corpse, can you please say a prayer?" You know what? You know what I did? You want to know what I did? I said, "Yeah, I'm far away from this corpse. Let me test something. Let me test something." I said, "Okay, put that phone on the ear of my brother." You know what I did? I went mad. Like, I said, "Hey, you fucking soul! I know wherever you are. It's not where God wants you. Man, you cannot die. You are going straight away. Come back. We need Jesus." He started breathing. He started breathing. And after 5 minutes, he woke up and said, "Where's that slender man?" I know I'm slender, but then I was worse. You know, he said, "Where's that man?" He came, he appeared dressed on white. He called me on a queue of judgment. It's Deacon Martin. He's now a man of God and a pastor. And he wanted to understand. They said, "You were dead." He said, "Hey man, I did not die. I was on a queue. And they were taking us to be judged. Then came this pastor. Where I was, he said I must come out of that line. Because I'm not going to make it. They are going to take me straight to hell." Did I have faith? No. I was just testing. And God shocked me. Did I trust that he'll come back to life? No. No. I want to be fair with you. I didn't want him to leave. That's spooky. Can you believe this? When he came back to life, you know, I got so scared. And Christ that night came to me and said, "You are surrounded by a stronghold of facing reality. You have limited my works, the works of my hands, to your understanding." I said, "Jesus, how did I do that? You know, dear Papa, I'm Jajara." That's what is to Jajara, Papa? What is Papa in Afrikaans? I did not want this man to be healed. I was only shouting by faith. And I never had faith. My faith was on the reserve. I know if a person died yesterday, there's nothing you can do. That's where we are. The second Joseph, what was his assignment? Protect Christ and leave earth. Thank you so much. Protect Christ and leave earth. Who's the second Joseph? It's the first one. The first Joseph, when he died, what did he say? "Take my bones with to the promised land." When Moses left, he took his bones. And they buried the bones in the promised land. Joseph's bones. Why were they taken to a promised land? Because God, who said, "Can these bones live again?"
will raise him again, so that he be a stepfather to God. He did not have a wife. He was a virgin. He was a virgin. There was a lady who chased him. And he ran away. He got arrested for that act of running away. He was a virgin. That's the reason why God prepared his exact wife in the land of the promise. And the wife was a virgin too. And where was this Joseph a king? Egypt. When they wanted to kill Jesus, what did God say to him? Go to where you were a king. Because Christ can't be a king without the anointing I bestowed upon you. You must go where you were a king, retrieve the oil, and come back with Christ, who will be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And what was the assignment of Joseph? Raise God. Imagine raising God. Eh? And then after that, what did he do? He disappeared. God did not want him to disrupt the message of salvation, because his assignment was to preserve Christ. He can't preserve Christ forever. Never. He was going to defend Christ not to die. God took him out. Some are saying in a form of rapture, because there's no trace of his grave. No, his funeral. Then Christ is about to die. You know, Christ did not join the funeral policy. How many of you know that? No funeral policy. Christ was something else. No funeral policy. No society for funeral. Just nothing. And he was preaching about his death, but he did not organize finances for his funeral. Then what happened? His uncle came. Who's his uncle? Joseph of Arimathea. That's his uncle. Christ's uncle, if you don't know. And he asked for what? For the body. And he took his body, the Christ body, to what? To his own tomb. Now, listen to this. If Christ would have died, he was going to resurrect after how many days? Without a tomb. He was just going to rise like Undertaker. Have you ever seen Undertaker rising from falling? Now, the challenge was going to be one. The law of evidence was going to defy Christianity, that Christianity is an illusion. Christ never existed. Where is his grave? Now, who took his body? Who asked for his body? Joseph. He was influential with politicians. He had much influence. He went to Pilate and said, "Hey, Daola Gautiak, I'm asking for my Motorola's body." He was moneyed, and he took Christ's body into his grave. At the age of 30, every Jewish man must create his own tomb. Christ never bothered. He never had an old mutual policy. Not at all. No sunlam, no momentum, no nothing. He just died and resurrected on the third day in somebody's tomb. If there's anything that Christ loaned was a tomb, and he returned it on the third day, intact, he even prepared the napkins and everything, because it's not his property. But it was Joseph's property. Even to date, what brings us to the truth that Christ existed? The tomb. What brought Israel back home? All Jews, when they went back home, which evidence did they point at? The tomb of Christ was more popular than all the tombs. And they were restored back. What do you see out of Joseph? He who will preserve a vision even long after he's dead, the vision will not die. Do we have any such in this church? Or we just have members who are waiting to watch everything dying? Kaboom.
How many big organizations did we head? How many big churches and visions have we had all our lives? Are they still powerful? Are they still alive? What killed those visions? Were they not people with vision? Were they not people with administration? But what put a hold on those visions? They never had a Joseph. How many Josephs do we have in the Bible? Only three. But their impact was out of this world. Now, I'm looking at you now. Do we have a Joseph in here? Will this vision outlast your lives? What about your grandchildren? Great-great-grandchildren. Will they come here to run that which you are doing? Are you impactful enough to get the next four generations growing this? Or is just you and you get bored? I'm no longer going to that church. I'm going to the next one. Huh? Where are you? What is the purpose of fellowship? Let me tell you something about a church fellowship. It's genetic. It must move from generation to generation. And it must be impactful. From generation to generation, a vision of a church must improve. Kids I taught in children's church are now men and women. They are married. Now, if I were to look for my own successors and train them, I won't look for you new people. I look for all the groups of kids I taught in children's church. They know me better than anybody. Even the way they preach, they mimic how I teach. Because I took children's church up close and personal. Because my memory of becoming a pastor starts from children's church. I'm not just an overnight success. I was raised very well by great people from children's church. My spiritual dad will go down to children and teach them. What is the future of this church? Are you impacting your children for Christ? Then we are doomed. What's your vision about South Africa? Is it political or beyond politics? Where you see many possibilities. If you don't see possibility in this nation, you'll go to Australia and just go and watch, what do you call this? Funny. You're going to watch kangaroos in Australia, and then after that, when Springbok, what do you call, Boge come to Australia, you just watch them with tears. Thinking Peter's back. Wiping your tears, shame. That's what is happening in South Africa. Are you aware that all nations of the world, we are going through a lot? Don't tell me someone is better. All nations of the world, even California had outages. Electricity outages. Don't be confused. We are going through one thing. Something we've never seen in history is just happening in all nations of the world. Who do we need to give us a perspective, refresh a perspective, and give us directions? Direction, economically, financially, politically. A Joseph. Who do we need to preserve the agenda of God in churches? Joseph. Who do we need so that we have a generational impact in our churches? From generation to generation, we must have our children rising to show us that we are your improved version. I was touched the other day. Was this Danny from Kiwandaland? No, the school there. Tami. Yes. He was just telling me that, you know what? I took your son Ariel a video, and Ariel was praying for a school to acquire side extension. That's my son. And all kids were, he commanded, he called all the kids to raise up their hands like this, because they wanted to buy out this other side, the other side of the property for extension. And it came to pass. While he was at Jabez school, the teacher called me and said, you know, Ariel came shivering and just said to me, he's got a word from the Lord in a classroom setup. And he started sharing the word of God. All kids were crying, convicted. The other day, the kids were going, her sisters were going to compete in Cape Town for gymnastics. Ariel disappeared in an aeroplane. And they had to look for him. Later, the pilot said, we've got Ariel Maponya here. He was testifying to them about Jesus Christ and the coming rapture. Now, what did I do upon him? It's not necessarily succession. It's impacting the next generation. I feel in my spirit we are about to impact the world. You know, the world is so there's this dissolution all over. People are dismayed. People are discouraged about life. People are just going to work for the fun of it. People are so discouraged. And we are missing an opportunity to rise and give the world direction. The three Josephs. I want to minister to you. There's a vision imparted by the Most High God upon your life, which will carry on after you are long gone. There are prophetic prayers that you are supposed to make, which will rule your household from the grave. You are not just going to die like anybody. You will call shots from the grave. I'll show you something about Elisha's grave. Elisha was a man of prayer. He was highly anointed. His grave, even though he was dead, his grave was alive. They dug his grave to bury a soldier quick, not knowing they are putting him on the bones of Elisha. And the soldier came back to life because the bones, the grave site, it's still alive. Can I shock you? A child of God doesn't just die. Prayers you make, futuristic prayers, you haven't as yet touched futuristic prayers. I know you've got a will, you've got this, you've got financial this and this and that, but you haven't made a futuristic prayer that should you die, you will call shots from the grave. Your grave will still decide who your great-grandson must marry and how must you reshape the next generation of your grandchildren. This is not taught. The grave is not silent. The grave of a child of God is not silent. When Paul writes about death, what does he say? For me to live is Christ. And for me to die is gain. That's number one. And he said, dying is absence from the Lord, absence from earth and present with the. Now, if a person dies and go to heaven, he's not dead. You are not dead. You're still impactful on earth. And you are remaining, that's the reason why I'm against this thing that white people are doing of cremation. Why are you cremating yourself? Why do you do that? Cremation is done by people who know they are already in hell, man. Why are you doing that? Huh? Cremation and all those things. I don't want to debate. Those are Asiatic spirits. Those are Asiatic religions. I see many white people, they cremate, and the little, what do you call it? The little whatever, ash. Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? Go to the tomb. Be buried there. Get buried there.
there's a connection between your spirit man,
even though you have parted from this earth. For the fact that when a trumpet sounds, you will rise first, because you are raised, shows that that which is buried inside, it's a seed that is still alive. You know why there's going to be a revival in the land, in all nations of the world? There are holy men who passed on with futuristic prayers. There are men whose prayers, they died. They're dead. They're long gone. But their graves, what they said to God, dictate where the church is going to. How souls must be saved. Come on. Is there anybody who wants cremation here? I want to pray for you. You need to debate this with them. Cremation is not good. You must die and get buried right on that tomb. As you ascend to heaven with your spirit man, whoever buries you wherever you are buried, it's a representation. Your grave must impact the next generation of your children. Your the prayers you made will connect with your family even when you are long gone. Eh? God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and these are three generations. God is a generational God. There are certain rewards which will appear and manifest on your great-grandchildren. There are specific prayers of protection which will take your grandson out of harm's way. You are going to rule even when you are dead. Your grave will rise to connect your children to the salvation of the Lord. You haven't as yet said to God, Father God, when I'm long gone, I pray for that which came out of my loins to impact fully, change the world in business, in politics, in Christ until the end of age. You haven't said that to God. We just bury empty people without futuristic prayers. How will your great-grandson suffer? They won't suffer because of political reasons. They will suffer because you left them with no spiritual inheritance. Prayer is an investment. Now, have you ever sat and looked at the world right now and asked one question? Where will be my grandchildren in this funny, crazy world? Do you have a cover prayer right now for your great-grandchildren when you're long gone? Or are they just going to be wandering people? David prophesies, I've been a boy at an old age while I was about to die. I've been a young man. I've been a man. I'm now old. He was about to retire and die. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, number one, nor their offspring begging. Imagine how you lived and you die and your children are on the streets begging because they never had a provision covering from you, great-grandma. Let me show you something you're not aware of. I cannot rise to say I'm gifted, I'm anointed, I'm this and that. No, we are a body. There are old people who knelt down, wept for my life before God. And when they prayed, they said, Father, we pray for revival. And they died without knowing or seeing me. Immediately when they finished their prayer, Mom got pregnant. And I was an answer to a multitude who passed on without knowing me. Joseph
is a man who relates with God. And his prayer is strategic.
I'm a prophet.
I'll tell you one thing about the gravesite in Polokwane. They are not impactful. There's no gravesite in Polokwane that spoke, that has its bearer or the owner of the gravesite impacting the next generation. Pastor, is it a new gospel or what? No, it's not a new gospel, my friend. That's the way it is. That's how it is.
This is a shocker. I feel in my spirit. You are going to re-amend your prayer life. You are going to sit down to say, I'm going to make a generationally impacting or impactful prayer. 21 days, 21 nights, I'm not eating, I'm only drinking for my children, grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, and I will decide who marries my sons and daughters. Great-granddaughters. Even if he can have many tattoos, your great-grandson, many funny tattoos, with a trouser almost here, walking like it is not finished in the bathroom, walking like they've put on springs on him, your grandson, Yaku! Yeah, mom. Yahoo style. Let me tell you this. What you've prayed for will impact him. It's about time you sit down with God and cut a deal that none of my children goes to hell. None of my children misses rapture. There are ministries that are dying out, completely dying out. And I'll tell you what, it's not the devil. It's because the vision bearers never had a futuristic prayer. They never sat down to say, Father, I'm traveling into the future to remove men and women who will introduce strange gods in our system. I'm traveling into the future to destroy pastors who will introduce strange gospels and strange doctrines. Many churches died out because there was no futuristic prayer plan. You are about to die in 20, 40, 30 years. But before you die, have you invested in prayer? That will impact the next generation of your children. What about your children? Who are Jews? Aren't they the great grandson of Abraham? Who was Abraham? Why are they still impactful? Why are they still winning wars? Why are they still surviving in the midst of all weapons faced against them? Besides God protecting them, study those who founded the tribe of Israel. Study their prophets. You will see the secret of why do they survive. They had impactful great-grandfather and grandmother who knelt down for their sake. It's not only prophetic forces that guides them to come back in 1948, but they had people who prayed. You know, many people are saying United States of America will collapse, and we are looking forward for America to collapse. All of us, right? But can I shock you? There are holy men who spoke things to God that may cause America to still sail through for his name's sake. Now, I want to give you an assignment when you go back home. Go raise a prayer item, code name it for your name's sake. Pray for that which comes from your loins to be impactful until rapture, that none of your children, none of your grandchildren will go astray. And then pray them into the house of the Lord. Now, that's where we're going to have the Joseph impactful vision. Where children, even if they can go astray, test and try addictions and drugs, get into all these many things, grandma's prayer will always drive them to a place of refuge, the house of the Lord. They will always end up coming back, because what is in the grave is not forgotten. There are certain covenants that you will cut with God, which will dictate terms beyond your death. You'll always have a say in your house. That's why I love prayer. That's why I'm into prayer. Is there anybody who's saying, I want the Joseph factor, and I want to take it further, and I want it to start in my own house? Some of the things you're going through is because you don't have a family inheritance of those who prayed for you into the future. But you got to start it now. From your loins, one of your great-grandson must cause a revival somewhere. Must be an impactful businessman somewhere. In prayer, we determine the next generations. That's why I shared about Joseph, he who preserves. In closure, I still repeat, there are crying souls from your loins, from your children, grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren that are not yet born. Can I give some reference, maybe? When Melchizedek received Abraham's tithe, it was him taking Abraham's tithe. But when you read the book of Hebrews, what does it say? It says it wasn't Abraham who gave tithe, but it was Abraham's great-grandson, fourth-generation son, Levi, tithing from the loins, meaning a semen within your loins can still listen and act. Who gave tithe? That's the only verse of consolation, because I wanted to introduce something very, very interesting. Who tithed? The Bible says, Hebrews, it was not Abraham who tithed, but it was Levi who tithed from his loins. Now, Levi is the fourth generation. Who was he when Abraham tithed? He was a seaman. And he was a priest. He wanted Melchizedek, the high priest, to ordain him as a priest. He took tithe from his grandfather, fourth generation. A fourth generation seaman came out to meet Melchizedek the high priest for benediction and blessing. I'm talking to men. Where are your fourth generation on your life? Have you taken out? Read for us. Hebrews, come on. I'm sorry, our plan did not work. I wanted to, now, this is so serious that when you die out, generations will be released. But look at this one. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it wasn't Abraham who tithed. Kinyagareval. I want us to read it. It was who? Levi who tithed. From where? This is very scary. A great-grandson from the fourth generation influencing grandpa to give tithing for him to be blessed by Melchizedek. Because the time he'll be coming on earth, Melchizedek will be long gone. This is very scary. And it shows that, you know, our generations are where? Yes? And as I may so say, Levi also who received tithes paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Who tithed? It's not Abraham who tithed. It's the fourth generation. What does the Bible say about you and me? It says we are a seed, as in spermatozoa, semen of Abraham. This is very scary, eh? Who tithed? And Abraham gave the tithe of everything after defeating five kings. That's Genesis. In the New Testament, Hebrews, what does it say? Who exactly tithed? Are you aware you've been interacting with your great-grandchildren on your loins, unaware? Are you aware there are souls pleading for mercy that talk to God better? Are you aware that your great-grandchildren are crying out on your loins that do something about our future? Talk to God better. Stand up. We must be impactful. Now, in the midst of all these happenings in the whole world, the world is in disarray. Everybody is getting discouraged by day in all nations of the world. We must not forget who we are. And we must not forget to invest in preservation. May Joseph rise. May Joseph rise. May you rise in prayer to speak life to generations that will come out of you. I want us to stand here and make a joint prayer. I feel in my spirit we did injustice because we found ourselves wanting. You know, we never had so-and-so praying for us, doing a covering for our lives. And I feel in my spirit, we must present everything that comes from our loins to the Most High God. We must present our great-great-grandchildren that we don't even know, we could not even meet unto the Lord. And I believe as a church, next time when I come in, Daddy Harry, I'll wrap it up. We will raise the Josephs. I haven't as yet touched much on the three Josephs and how must they function in the church of Christ. But all I can say is we've got great-grandchildren. Raise up your hands and follow me into this confession prayer. Say, Daddy, in the name of Jesus, you are not my stepfather. You are my dad. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the grace of salvation. Right now in your presence, I'm presenting all generations that will come out of my body right now before you. I soak them with the blood of Jesus. When I leave this world, they'll be immersed into your will. Receive that grace, receive that grace, receive that grace, receive that grace. And may the Lord never forget this. We seal it with the blood of Jesus, that the Lord will always rise and provide for your children, protect them, preserve them, raise them above the rest. Raise them against competition. Cause them to defeat their enemies. When they blessed Rebecca, this is what they said. The elder brother to Rebecca rose and said this one confession. That, will you go with this man, referring to Isaac? And Rebecca said, yes. And what did he say? May your children be born, may your womb be blessed. He blessed the womb and said, may your children be in tens of thousands, and may they possess the gates of their enemies. Possess the gates of their enemies. Nothing must defeat them from their enemies. You know, there are many enemies coming for your seed, but your children must always have an upper hand. Even intellectually, they must rise to be more intelligent than the rest. Receive that grace. Receive that grace. Receive that grace. Receive that grace. I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. There's an impartation for what you will live on earth.
Close your eyes and allow Holy Spirit to do that impartation. Nereve zondoro kosha paporovo shata lavazanda rakashita ravazanda. Where are ashes? Ravazugudolovo zendere mesende. I'm asking for ashes. Rovo shaka talavazanda. For the first time, we are not just only laying hands upon you. We are laying hands upon generations that will come out of you. Children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, none will be a beggar. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the offspring begging. None of your children shall become a beggar. Receive that grace. Rava shukutala masanta ravazanda. They will abound with all good things, I prophesy. Rekeshetereveshanda ravazondo. They shall be children of revival. The Lord will always remember them with the salvation never seen. Impactful salvation of the Lord. Rakashi bababosh taravazanda ramastolo koshete revezende. Receive that grace, receive that grace, receive that grace. Lachala vaso toro koshata ravazanda ramasto. Nerevezondoro kotolo kobriasanda ravazotoro koderevezanda. Lakashi taravazanda ramastolo koshende revezende remesondolo voste. Liga daravazondoro kotolo kobriasanda ravazondoro koderevezende. Piga shanda ravazondo ro kutolo kubriya senda revezeke terevezondo. I decree grace in our family by the power of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Rekeshika talavazanda ramason tolo kubriya sete revezigi direvizanda ramason tolo koshika talavazanda. More grace, more grace, more grace, more grace, more grace. Lavazigi tirevizanda ramason tolo kutolo kubriya sita. Impactful in your ministry. Rekeshika talavazanda ramasanda in an uncommon vision. Rekeshiki talavazanda ramasontolo godorovo zenderemeste. Lekeshiki tiribizanda ramasanda rabazanda. Grandsons and daughters. Dorovoziki tarabazanda. It's coming to pass. It's coming to pass. It's manifesting. Dorovo sheke terevezontoroko she terevezanda. Lakase terevezoko terevezondoroko torovo zende. Makasi daravazanda ramasanda lavaze terevezigi direvizanda. Mekesita ravazanda ramasanda lavazanda. Bigi shanda lavazanda ramaseke terevezende. Leke sende remesondo loko tologo briasanda ravazanda ramasondo. Yevezeke terevezutorovo zanda. Lacha lavazonto rokutoroko bria sendere vezende remesondo lokotoloko bria sendere vezende revezigi derevezokutoloko bria sende. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Be glorified, Lord. Rakashi baba baba bush. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Rakashi bebebesh lovozanda. Norovozanda rokushanda lavazanda ramashto lovozanda. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yay. Receive that grace. Oh, she's a mother now. Thank you, Jesus. Wow.
Can you call my girl? You're no longer that small girl. Wow, look at you as your husband. Okay, bring him along. Wow.
Hey, we've worked for years. Lomukheri, eh?
I could not identify you. You are now pregnant. Is it the first one?
What I like about white people, they are fast. Very quick. 1, 2, 3. Done. Done deal. I want to minister to you. Grace, 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 favor. It's done. Now, I want to share this with you. We are a body. We don't just rise overnight. There are men and women who spent sleepless night, fasted and prayed for us just to gather here. And God will keep honoring what they've left as a generational legacy. But we must carry the baton and do it better than them. Wait for my book on prayer. An impactful prayer. Wait for my book. Immediately when I finish, I'll give it to Harry. And it will be published, though it's going to be published outside the country. But you'll have a copy of it on prayer. God richly bless you.